Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, good morning, folks. If it sounds like my voice is a little bit scratchy, it is with the weather changes down here in Florida from cold to hot, hot to cold. I've caught myself a little raspy voice, but we're going to crank the show out because as I get into Dondi's book, Ready, Set, Grow, I don't want to put it down and I don't want to miss a show. And as I sat here this morning, I thought, you know, with some hot tea and some good honey and a little cinnamon, I think I can make it through. And we're going to hit this. Embracing change. Ending signals new beginnings. Let's say that again. The ending signals new beginnings. Nobody really likes change. Everybody gets scared. Everybody wonders, why can't we keep the status quo? And I remember growing up, went to a small church with wooden pews. And one of the big changes that a new pastor did was he wanted to take all those old pews out and go get them reupholstered and put some foam on them. And man, people got upset because they didn't want their pew changed. I think some of that wood had been indented by some of those guys' butts. And it was a little thing, but it was huge. And I think that as we look at what Dondi's talking on and we realize that for us to grow, for us to take our team a new place, for a company to be able to grow, there has to be change. The ability to adapt and manage change is as important of a skill set as attitude is, because it all ties together. When we do not embrace change, when something happens and we become dull, negative, disillusioned crybabies, then all it does is that it permeates our team. It's like a one bad apple in a sack of good apples. Eventually, they all become rotted. And that's what happens when we decide we're not going to change. And Dondi put some stuff in here that I thought was good. She says, most people take things off. They rarely do we see people pick things up and add to them. Unconsciously, think about change as losing stuff, subtracting. Now, when I read that, I got to actually two things happened. I was reading that as I was watching the earthquake happen, or the aftermath happen in Haiti. And I'm sitting there, and Paige is trying to get a hold of some of our friends that are in Haiti that have been there as missionaries for years, and she started to cry. And she said, look around this house. Look at all this stuff we accumulate. Here these people don't have much of anything, and what they have is lost, and we have so much stuff that we need to go get a storage shed. And I thought, man, that goes back to what Dondi just said. We're always accumulating stuff. We're never taking anything off, and we need to look at change as losing stuff that's holding us back. Second thing she said, people immediately want to put things back where they were. The change is uncomfortable, and they cannot wait to reverse it. Like a rubber band that has been stretched, we snap back into place when tension of a situation diminishes. And that's true, too. You know, we talk about change, but then we want to try to pretend change isn't going to happen, and we want to stay in the status quo. Status quo does nothing to help you grow and to reach your dreams. The third thing that she says here is with the first stage of change, people are caught off guard. They weren't noticing others in the environment. By the third round, they are acutely aware and looking for the slightest change. Increasing our awareness allows us to anticipate and prepare for change. And I think that's very good. A big company that wasn't prepared for change was Dell Computers. Dell, for years, was the number one mail order computer in the world. The internet came along, and they were still pretty dominant. But there were other companies like Gateway and Acer and some of them. HP started really doing some stuff. Michael did a semi-retirement from the company, and the company lost their number one edge. And it just freaked them out. In 2010, they took another change. And it's because Michael now is trying to take back control and win that number one spot back. But they sold all their factories. They said, why should we do this? Let's sell them and we'll outsource it. As soon as they did, it became a bottleneck. They've got $1 billion worth of computers in bottleneck. They just go to the computer, go to the government. Change, you have to anticipate it. You have to be prepared for it. You got to move forward to it. You cannot cling to the past, because what made you good and what made you great in the past could hold you back in the future. That's just the way it is. Dondi writes in here about William Bridges in his book, Managing Transitions. And he shares an important fact. He says, inside of every change, there is an ending, a middle, and the beginning. Endings are hard because when something ends, we must let go. You know, I remember I was talking to some network marketers not too long ago, and they were frustrated because their company had eliminated a product that they thought was the best product out there, and they couldn't understand why the company was getting rid of it. Well, the reason turned out that although they thought it was good and they used it all the time, company-wide sales had gone down. They needed something new, needed something fresh. That's going to happen. When you look at trends that are out there, you know, I can think back to my grandpa, and if I told him we were going to go to the store and buy a roll of toilet paper, we were going to use it and throw it away and go buy some more, that would have just blown his mind. Because he said you should be very frugal. He was using corn cobs, and he'd use the last year's version of the Sears catalog. Change is inevitable. There's no way around it. You cannot reach for something new until you've let go of the past. That includes in relationships. You know, I don't know how many times that I've counseled with couples, and the first thing out of one or the other's mouth is, well, let me tell you what happened a few years ago. It's like, what the heck does that got to do with the price of tea in China? Tell me what's happening today. I don't care about what happened in the past. I was at breakfast this morning with a man that finally had to let go of his ex-wife after a year. They'd been married 25 years, raised two great boys. He thought they had a great relationship. Came home one day and she'd slapped divorce papers on the table. It was devastating to him. After a year, going through counseling, of trying to work it out, of putting it back together, he called her on the phone and said, are you sure this is what you want? And she said, I've never been sure of anything in my life. He said, then let's work out a settlement. Ended it. Day later, he's out dating. He let go of the past. He moved to the future. Things in life happen. Ends come. Some things are for a season. Some things are for life. But you have to let go of the past if you're going to move your business, you're going to move your relationship forward. The change that you and I are facing may be at work, it may be in a relationship. It may have to do with our finances right now, it may have to do with health issues. The change bearing down might look like a mountain. I mean, you might be looking at this and saying, how in the world am I going to get through this? But large or small, the process is the same. There's certain stages that we have to go through as individuals when we face change. I want you to write these down because this is important today. Number one, denial. This is when we say, this can't be true, this can't be changing, we're not going to accept this, you know, it's not going to happen. I was talking to BK Barreco this last week. He's the founder of New Vision and Vima, and it was interesting as I was sharing and reading through his stories of stuff, that change was inevitable for their family in 1994. His mom died. There was nothing they could do to stop that. She passed away of cancer. As the family was grieving and just getting over the grieving process, the company, the network marketing company that the whole family represented, they were making collectively together $100,000 a month, called them on the phone 10 days before Christmas, and said, we just filed for bankruptcy under Canadian law. You will not be getting a check, nor will your team. Two gigantic, devastating, life-changing events. And they went through denial at first also. Obviously, they quickly rebounded. But the deal is, the number one, the first thing we all go through is denial. People will never confront what they are not ready and willing to do, or when they're not really ready to do something about it. Denial is something that we all have to face, but we got to move through to the second stage. And this is something that BK did, the whole family, that was the resistance. Said at first we denied it, and then we had wanted to resist it. No, we're going to do something. We're going to push back. We're going to make this company pay us. We're going to fight for our team. You know, we're going to keep control. I watched Orrin Woodward have to go through this with some stuff with Amway. They push back, you know, hoping that it won't be this way. Then comes the third step, exploration. And this is the stage where in BK's case, him and his family said, you know what, we can launch a company. And a few months later, that's what they did. But at this stage, we begin to see the positives. We imagine the possibilities. We say, you know what, we can do this. This just might work if we focus in this direction and if we do this. And then the fourth stage is commitment. It's when we turn it on. We say, we're going to make this happen. We're going to go for it. We're going to crank this out. That's what Orrin Woodward did when he left Amway and went to Montevideo. It's what the Brieco family did when they launched New Vision. It's what you have to do in your life to accept what that change is. Jimmy, you got your mic on, and I'm sorry again. I wasn't looking up. I was looking at my book.
Brother, don't apologize.
Man.
I mean, you're on a roll. If I got something I want to add, you know, I rest assured I know how to do that.
And awesome.
You just keep on trucking, brother.
Well, I'm gonna keep on trucking then, because I want to share with these people the milestones that they have to accomplish. Folks, these are when you've finally gone through the four stages and you're finally willing to make the commitment. There's gonna be some milestones. And these are things that you got to do. Number one, you've got to focus on the facts. Inside of change is truth. And sometimes truth hurts. Sometimes you've got to work through that truth. Sometimes it's going to come in the form of criticism. Sometimes it's going to come in the form of positive affirmations. But it's truth. And you ultimately have to look at all this. If you're going to be changing something, then you've got to know what you're going to be confronted with. You've got to look at the reality of it. You can't be just sitting there, you know, using this old adage, well, if I believe it's just going to happen. There's an ounce of truth to that, but there's action that takes place behind that. And that's what this first milestone is. Focus on the facts. As you confront the reality, as you realize that, okay, change is going to happen, we're going to move forward, you've got to focus on faith. You've got to know that you're going to pioneer. You're going to be moved forward to something that's never happened. And we can use Haiti as an example. There's not one person alive on the island of Haiti right now. Española, the island. They're right here in this country. Not one of them are alive. Not one of them alive today had lived through an earthquake on that island. It's been 200 years since the last earthquake. They are faced with change. The 45,000 Americans that are there, the missionaries, the people, they're faced with change. We go through our own earthquakes on a daily basis that we have to face. And that's what you've got to look at. The second milestone, empowering yourself and others. This is the milestone where you're turning resistance into empowerment. You're coming together as a team and saying, this is what's going to happen. I'll never forget my trip to Utah in October. I sat down with the CEO of the company. And he laid out to me where their company had come in the last 10 years. He showed me the massive growth that they had on the business side of what they do. He said, Troy, we've done nothing but grow in 10 years. But yet over here in our individual service side where we decided to try network marketing, we've done nothing but lose money. You know, we are faced with a dilemma. What do we do? And the compromise came out because you had all these collective heads together. Why don't we just make it a direct selling company and let your sales force sell both your business services and your individual services? Why would you hold them back? Give them the room they need to grow and to expand. Let those that expand, those that don't. Simple as that. As soon as they realized that they were empowering their whole field force, those that really loved their company, the change made sense. Everybody moved forward. Folks, this is exactly what happens. When you start to get rid of the resistance, then you can move forward. Here's one dilemma, though. Sometimes when change comes, some people don't want to go for the ride. Some people are so dead set in the old way that if the old way isn't going to exist anymore, they'll just quit. I've seen families ripped apart when this happens. I've seen people, it's almost like the story in the Bible of the prodigal son. I've seen people say, then let's just give me my part of the business and I'm done. Sell it to me. And it's like, wow, that's sad. The company's gone on to do great things. And yet this person wasn't around for that. So you've got to empower yourself. You've got to empower others. You want to hold tightly to the knowledge of what worked and what didn't in the old, but now you've got to move forward. So So how do you resist that temptation? How do you make sure that you're moving forward to empower people and not just holding on to the resistance? Because that's natural. That's purely a natural response. And here's some stuff that you can look at. This is so beautiful because it's something that Jim and I have taught, I don't know, probably since we were knee-high to a grasshopper. But it's to ask questions when you're confronted with something. And Dondi uses a very personal story. She says, you know, when she married Scamacci and he sold his house up in Seattle and moved down to San Antonio where she was at, he was a true gentleman, but she said, the reason that I had him do that is because I loved my backyard. It was my refuge. It was where I could go and just be me. And she said, as soon as he moved in, he said, oh, I want to make this into an Italian courtyard. She goes, inside, I was upset. But she goes, I started asking him questions. And instead of making it a confrontation and all that, I just sat back and I would say, okay, I guess that's okay, and I guess that's fine. Well, what will it look like when it's done? So he explained to her the vision of palm trees and this gigantic garden and this beautiful fountain and all this cool stuff. And instead of her saying, well, that sure sounds expensive, she asked, do you know what this will cost? And he said, I don't know. I'll go find out. She said, okay. And then she sat there and she said, I got another question. Will this really add value to the house? And he said, you know what? I don't know. I'll go find out. And she goes, finally, I sat there, and even through slightly clenched teeth, you know, I thought of the 300-year-old tree in my backyard. I said to him, I said, well, when you tear out the tree that's been there for 300 years, how long does it take for those palm trees to grow and sway properly like you showed me? He said, I don't know. I'll go find out. She said, for several weeks, we had strangers going in and out of our backyard, measuring things, calculating, making pictures. You know, she goes, finally, at the end, he sat back and he said, honey, this is going to be too expensive. It won't add value to our home, and it'll take too long for the trees to grow for it to look the way I want. And she goes, I ended up getting my backyard. She goes, but what happened was I was getting so excited about the change because I'd embraced it, I was a little disappointed. Because I kind of wanted to see what it was going to look like. See, the mindset, her attitude changed as she started asking questions. If you're one of these people where you're tightened to resistance and you're not wanting to move to that next stage, then start asking pertinent questions. Questions that can help formulate a new answer, a new direction. You know, that's the key right there. Acknowledge, and this is for leaders, you got to acknowledge the people are going to resist. You've got to acknowledge the emotions they're going through. You've got to understand what it is they're dealing with. You know, I can remember back when ProStep, after 12 years, was coming to its demise. The CEO kept saying, I'm going to go down with the ship. I'm going to go down with the ship. And I said, dude, everybody on the Titanic that went down with the ship died. Okay, there's a time when you jump off the ship. That just makes sense. Okay, pilots don't like to lose their airplanes, but there's times when they know we got to bail. Otherwise, trying to protect this $30 million toy is going to cost us our life. There are times to bail in situations, but there's also times to listen to what other people are saying, because if you listen when change is taking place, some of those emotions may trigger new change in you to where you can say, oh, let's go this direction instead of that direction. It's safer. It's going to work better. It's stability. That's what you've got to do. Let's look at milestone number 3. Explore the possibilities. See, if the third milestone is where people are committed, people have bought in, you're empowering everybody, energy's back, creativity is flowing. That's when we start to search for what's going to be the new beginning. We search for those new possibilities. We start moving in the direction that we need to. I'll never forget one day Atticus Killo, a top leader in Zengo, called me on the phone. And actually, he didn't call me. I called him, and I said, dude, I'm looking over here. You're building these new systems out for all these other companies, and you've let your own organization fall. And he was with me in Pro Step at the time. And I said, I've got an idea that I can help you out. And he goes, well, what will it cost me? I said, nothing, man, just friendship. I'd like to meet you. I love what you're doing. Let's get together. Let's make this happen. I moved a couple of people that had been in an organization that was dead. Nobody was handling the company, couldn't control of it. I helped him keep his check where it was. A few months later, because of all these online systems that he was making, we're feeding leads into him, and all of a sudden, I get phone calls from irritated members of ProStep. Hey, you've sold me a lead that's been sold 13 times. Hey, you sold me a lead that's been sold 24 times, all to the same people in the same company. I said, no, man, we don't do that. So I'm thinking, what the heck is this? Then I hear a yell from across the office, and the CEO calling me in. He goes, what's this guy think he's doing? He's screwing up our business model. Here we are selling these leads to these people, and now they're going to know that we're overselling them. Man, I had a choice to make. I looked at that, and I thought, okay, I like Atticus. I work for this man. What do we do? We're at a compromise. We're at a dilemma. So I looked at the CEO, and I said, well, I guess we need to change our business model then. And we're going to have to put some filters in so we're not doing this. I said, because we're busted, dude. There's no way around this. We've got to accept the fact that this is what happens. We can do this one of two ways. You cannot tell me that we've been doing this for a long time. Accept the fact that we did it this once and go write an email and apologize that this happened and replace all these people's leads, period. I said, or you can ignore it and people are going to know you've been doing this forever. He went and wrote an email, sent it out. We changed our policies. I called Atticus on the telephone and told him, you just made my life hard, but thank you for clearing up some stuff that I didn't know. And from that point forward, we knew we were being watched. We were on our P's and Q's. And it was all because Atticus Killo created a system that did not allow a lead to go into that system except once. Change is inevitable. You're going to change. People are going to help you change. But the possibilities there are enormous because what that one event did was to cause lead generation companies, period, that serve the network marketing arena to clean up their act. It wasn't just one company. It was every company out there. And every one of them had to get on the bandwagon. That's the cool thing when you empower people, when creativity kicks in, when somebody else's change and idea affects yours, and together you become something better. It's enormous. Milestone number four, leverage the opportunity and the learning experience. See, the final milestone is it becomes the most memorable. It's kind of like a brand that goes onto a cow. It's there forever. You know you've successfully made it through the milestones. You've made it through the stages of change. You've gone to a new direction. All of a sudden, you're at a new plateau. You know, a company a few years ago that went through this is a company called Accelerate. They've been doing real good, just kind of floundering along, little publicly traded company with a lot of athletes that love their product, use their product on a regular basis. But in their network marketing arm, they were not growing at the speed that they wanted to. And they started looking around for an answer. And they found a gentleman that just had a lot of passion and a lot of creativity, and they came up with a juice called Bozzy. And all of a sudden, they took a single-focused approach to their company. Didn't get rid of all their legacy products, didn't change anything, but a focused approach. They started attracting a couple, three new leaders. All of a sudden, they started seeing some momentum. All of a sudden, they started seeing some sales. And all of a sudden, Bozzy became a word that's known in network marketing. It's all because of change. If we adapt to change and we're willing to move forward, we're willing to understand that not everything is going to stay the same. What's cutting edge today is going to seem antiquated tomorrow. I don't know about you guys, but when I got into network marketing, I never dreamed that I'd be using the internet. I thought all I would be doing is going and buying postcards, sending out postcards, buying lists, and making phone calls. Today, I'll be honest, I don't know what I'd do without Facebook. Later today, I'll be doing a video at Facebook and announcing that I need to call in some favors. I need some money, big-time money. Not for me, but for my friends in Haiti, and that I want people to donate $5, and I'm going to give them a website to go to take that money, and 100% of the money goes to the kids in Haiti. I don't know how I would have been able to do it. I couldn't make enough phone calls in the old days. Now I can do a video and blast it out to the world and guarantee it'll be viral by the end of the day. Folks, change is inevitable. You've got to grab it. If you want your life to change, if you want your wife to change, if you want your husband to change, don't slap them over the head with a frying pan. Start asking questions. Honey, what can I do to fulfill your needs better? Honey, what can I do to help you around the house? Hey, what was the one thing that you wish I would do when I got up on a Saturday morning? Male or female, doesn't matter. If you've got a leader that used to be kicking butt, and all of a sudden they seem stagnant, and you makes you wonder, I wonder if they're thinking about leaving. Call them on the phone and say, hey, as your leader, what do you need from me? What can I do to help you? How can I make this work better? See, communication at the end of the day is the catalyst that makes everything else work. Without communication, you have no trust. With communication and open communication, transparent communication, you can work through anything. It's when one side or the other clams up. It's when one side or the other stops talking. That's when change becomes a barrier. That's when all of a sudden it goes wacky. I'm not talking about change just to be changing. That's stupid. I'm talking about making calculated changes in a situation, calculated changes in your life that will help you, your team, your family fulfill the mission that you're here on earth for and leave a legacy, a financial legacy for your loved ones. Something that when they look back, they say, it was Grandpa Jim, it was Grandpa Harry, it was Papa Troy. It was their hard work, it was their focus, it was their willingness to serve others that have given us what we have here, and we got to protect this legacy. Now we got to go out and help other people. In the last few minutes, it reminds me of when I was talking with Franklin Graham a couple years ago, and he was sharing about his dad because we're getting ready to celebrate his 99th birthday at the time. And he said, you know, he goes, it amazes me to this day. He goes, when I took over my dad's ministry, he asked me, are you giving up your ministry? I said, Dad, I don't think I need to give up my ministry. The Lord's put this here. We're going to make it work together. He goes, my background is in business management. So he goes, I get my daddy's books, and I'm laying them open, and there's this one journal over here. And he goes, I pull it over, and I start looking at it. And he goes, all I ever see in this journal are additions. Additions, additions, additions for 30 years, additions. Because I go through all these pages, I see no deductions. I get to the end of the book, and there's $100 million sitting in this account. Because I go to my dad and said, Dad, this account had no subtractions in it. What is this? Because my dad said, Son, years ago when I was praying, the Lord put on my heart, at the end of the year, if you have cash left in the bank, you move that cash over here. You put it in this account for rainy day. He goes, so every year at the end of the year, we'd meet our budget. I'd move all the excess money, and I'd put it over here for a rainy day. He goes, Franklin said, I looked at my dad, and I said, the rainy day's come. And less than 6 months later, they didn't use all that money, but they took a deduction from that account. And they went to India. India has over 800 different dialects. And they were able to put a Billy Graham video in 800 different dialects in the country of India and share the gospel of Jesus Christ, as Billy Graham's been doing since I was knee-high to a grasshopper. A rainy day had taken place. Billy Graham didn't change, but Franklin Graham grasped what needed to change and realize this is a rainy day and I'm going to impact the world in a new way. Folks, go out there today. Embrace change. Find out what your company's doing, what you have to do. Make this year a year of change. Embrace that so you can move forward. Reach the goals. Reach the dreams. Reach the vision that you have. Make this a fantastic day. Live life like an epic adventure. We'll be back here tomorrow morning, 9 o'clock, Radio for Your Mind. Thank you now.